other. Lord God, we thank you that you are amazing. Can we put those words back up? You are amazing, Lord. You are higher. If you're for us, who can be against us? We thank you, Lord, that our rally to you is a rally to love and a rally to the throne and a rally, Lord God, that you're greater, that you're stronger, that you're higher. You're our healer. You're awesome in power. You're our God. 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 Let's raise our voices. You are greater. You are stronger. You are higher than any other. You're our healer, awesome in power. Our God. Our God. We celebrate you this morning, Lord God. We celebrate you. We thank you, Lord, that everything else, everything inside of us screams to say yes in who you are. You're so wonderful. You're so amazing. Who can be against us if you're for us? Who can be against us? Who can be against us? So, Lord, we just dedicate this morning to you. We thank you, Lord, that you are on our side. And we're on your side. We're on the side of kingdom love and righteousness and wholeness and peace. So we thank you, Lord, that today we declare a shift and a change in the heavenlies, a shift and a change in this place, a shift and a change in this region, a shift and a change in this church, a shift and a change in our families, a shift and a change in our finances, a shift and a change in our health. We declare and we decree, Lord God, that you are the glorious one. You are the majestic one. Come on, let's worship our God. Come on, let's worship the King of the universe. The King of the universe. The King of the universe. Yes, Lord. Come on, let's be on our feet. Let's be on our feet. Let's worship our God. Come on. You're amazing. You are the one who was and is to come. You're the great I am. Let's shout it out from the mountaintops. Come on. Choose only to live, only to see your face, to shine on us. And Lord, then we invite you and ask you and appeal and receive the light of your face shining down in our hearts. And we want to feel you. You designed us, O Lord, to know us, to know you, to know your love. You designed us to feel your presence. You designed us. You thought about us even before we were formed in our mother's womb. You were shining your face down on us, Lord, even before. You were not surprised when our little life was ignited and began to take form. You were not surprised. You were rejoicing because you knitted us together in our mother's womb. You so value our lives, Lord. You so value our lives that our only response can be that we live only to see your face. And we invite the shining light of heaven to come and grab us at the deepest core level of our being. Come and grab us, O shining one, that we would feel you moving throughout this place. You're not an entity and a power far off. You're our close, loving Father. You're the Spirit of the living God. And you're brooding and moving and habitating right here. We line ourselves up with you, with your thoughts, with your ways, with the way that you desire for us to live, with complete freedom to enjoy the fullness of heaven. But the restriction around us to serve as a protection from that which would steal away or attempt to steal away your light. So as a body here together, we say yes to you. We say yes in the places that might be confusing at first, But in you, there is ultimately no confusion ever. You're very clear. You're just looking for our response to your great and lavish love. And our response today is yes. Our response is yes. Our response is yes. Yes, Lord. We just receive you right now, Holy Spirit. Right into the wounded places, we receive you. Right into those places of disconnect, we receive you. Right into those places of terror, of horror, we receive you. Right into those places where there's been a deposit of what has not been your love, we receive you and you uproot that by your presence. We receive you right now because you're for us. You're not against us. You're for us, not against us. Oh. So we can trust you. We shall trust you. We will trust you. We are trusting you. As the inner core might shake a violent no, we receive your yes that pushes that out, that enables us to say yes. So we trust you wholeheartedly right now. You've given us the ability. You provided the way. Wow. He's loosing many of us right now from places of hurt and pain, from places of disappointment, from places of fear, from places where our questions were not answered and we said why, and we've been distraught in the innermost places. The Lord says, I'm releasing you from that now. Just see it be released right out from you, because the heavenly presence, the mighty one, is here. Wow. Thank you, Lord. You were not an accident. You are not an accident. Your life is not an accident. Our very intentional Father designed us to shine for Him, designed us with a purpose, designed us for a purpose, designed us with purpose in mind. The purpose-driven life is life in Him alone. Wow. Yeah. I just see a picture of a wrecking ball that's glistening, that's glowing. It's moving towards walls that have been built around our hearts. Walls of unforgiveness. Walls of heartache. Walls of fear of failure or fear of exposure. Walls of rejection. Walls of feeling devalued or not appreciated, or even worse, victimized. In the sense that the walls were there and you had no say. So, Lord, I thank you for that wrecking ball of love right now. That wrecking ball that's glistening with your glory. Wow. Just lean right into that. Just lean right in. The Lord is so good. He's Dr. Jesus, King Jesus, going into those places. He is the resurrected one. He is the one that broods and brings life and releases life, not death. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your kingdom ways. Are so profound. Thank you, Lord. So simple, but the ultimate power in the universe. Wreck us with your love right now. Now just receive. He's our deliverer. He's our healer. Do you believe it? Just receive. Receive right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wreck the fortresses around our minds right now. Let them come tumbling down. Tumbling down. Thank you for the renewal. Thank you, Lord. It's your perfect wrecking ball of love. Removes, casts out, destroys. Absolutely disintegrates, renders inoperative any fear, any connection, any tentacle of fear, any control, any manipulation, any response from being hurt or wounded. The Lord says, let it be my response of love. So as the Lord allows you to see faces just moving right into your eye gate right now of those that you feel have harmed you. Forgive them. Just tell the Lord, I release them to you. I release them to you. And the feelings that go with it and the pain that surrounds it. For you, it has taken up residence inside. Oh, the Lord says it must go. It's a hindrance to my light remaining. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom. Thank you, Lord. We proclaim your freedom right now. Can it be this simple, oh, powerful God? And the answer is yes, it can be. I had a picture earlier of a bully in a schoolyard harassing so many kids, but ever so slick to be able to go to the side where the trees are when the teachers and the supposed enforcers of good behavior and discipline and fair play come on the scene on the playground. While the enemy is sneering and laughing through the perpetrator, through the bully, who then grabs a basketball and just starts shooting hoops, looking very innocent. Who, me? Who, me? But yet wreaked havoc all throughout innocent little lives. When the Lord says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, He means it. But He does tell us with whom our battle is. And the Lord has equipped us to be able to stand and to have eyes to see who the real bully is and bullies are. And the Lord says, I've given you the equipment, I've given you the weaponry for that to be obliterated from your lives, both personally, within your families, and wherever you go, any group that you're in. Oh, for the wisdom of God. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we call today freedom from our inner struggles, freedom to worship you, freedom to feel your presence. Soak us now in your glory. Soak us in your glory. Soak us in your healing salve. Soak us in your delivering release and salve. Soak us right now. Keep releasing that which does not match up with the heart of the Father. With His power and strength, you can just release right now. I'm finished. I put this and them in your hands. Thank you. I receive your presence, your power. I receive you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of living only for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just receive. If we're too busy, it's hard to receive. Just receive. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We just sing out to the Lord. Our response is yes. I live only to see your face so shine on me. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. healed people heal others. Delivered people deliver others. In the power of the Spirit, in the kindness and the explosive glory of Jesus Christ. You've heard for a long time that love looks like something. And we can become very numb to that phrase. Being a world changer looks like something. Being whatever you want to finish the sentence in looks like something. It's really true. But we can become numb to that. I always hear that. What does love look like? What does love look like? We're in a peaceful setting here, and I'm so grateful. And we have freedoms beyond compared to other countries, other places on this earth. We have so many opportunities in this great land that we live in. So many opportunities to let His light shine in us and then out through us to others. And when we're on the schoolyard, in the schoolyard, and we feel the closeness of the result of the bully, it doesn't feel good. And something inside of us screams and goes, no, it's not right. No, it's wrong. It shouldn't be this way. I've got to do something, but I don't know what. I don't know how. But inside, there's that spirit of justice that rises up saying, you can. Keep your eyes on me. I'm for you. I'm not against you. So as we ask the Lord for spiritual eyes and His kingdom heart and ways to walk out in appreciation and thanksgiving, what He's allowed us to walk in this season in 2012, that also involves, with that appreciation, that involves a keen awareness, not only of the fact that we live in a free place, but also a keen awareness and appreciation for how that's come to pass and what the Lord says to do about that, to maintain. We are the enforcers of the kingdom of God. How many of us believe that? So that's when love looks like something. Love moves on the inside of us and propels us forward to take action. Jesus was a man of action. He didn't sit by and let things go by and happen. With the power of His Father and the Spirit of God in Him, things were changed. The whole world was changed. And we live and breathe and rally together in this place because of Him. So for the sake of the Lamb's reward, we have an opportunity to continue to step forward and take steps, not only for our own personal life, that we feel good, that we can do a good job in our sphere of influence, whatever that would be it a student or we're working, whatever capacity it would be, we want to do well. We want to finish well in our families. We want to be the best married people, couples, if we have a family, or look forward to that, or bless others who have that. That's what God has for us, for His kingdom to come and His will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. It's not a cliche. It is the truth. With that in mind, I asked Dylan to put something together so you didn't leave here going, that was nice. Because there's something in our community that needs our attention. How many of us know in this house from the establishment of Frontline Ministries International, Frontline Worship Center, from the very beginning, we have always stood for and believed in and declared life. Call that whatever you want. Give it whatever name you want. But we are backing what we believe the Lord says about life. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness means something. So as the enforcers of God's beautiful gift of life, we have opportunities, and many of us have participated in opportunities around this area. Some might say that's radical. Some might say that's extreme. Some might say that's intolerant. But I believe many people said that about Jesus. And Jesus says, I believe my life and my death and my resurrection was a bit radical. How about you? And a bit extreme. So as we sing out God Bless America, as we declare our freedoms, as we think about the season that we're in, it's a very poignant time. It's a very significant time. And the Lord says, what are you going to do about the time that you're in? We all know that we have an election coming up, a very significant election. Do we know the importance of this election? More so than any other election. Why? Because the bully's rising, but the glory's rising higher. So the Lord says, where will you partner? With the glory? Or will you stay or potentially be blinded to what my glory looks like? So as Christians together who stand for life, we need to be very, very, very sure of what that looks like. Because when a bully moves, there is a lot of fear that motivates the bully to move through the schoolyard and control and power and a satisfaction of being one that has done something that's significant seemingly. And you may think, well, there's so much going on in the world, I couldn't possibly know everything. Jesus does. I couldn't possibly know by the Spirit what I should do. Not true. The Lord's giving visions and dreams in this body that are so significant, that are absolutely involving the changes that he wants to bring about in the world. It's very fun. It's like, Lord, how do I do that? Pray and then do something. Pray and then do something. Pray and then do something. Soak and then go. Relax in his presence and receive and then say, now what? But if we get that out of order, then we have the wrong view of our God. And we're scared and we're frightened and we make blunders, many mistakes, because we're operating out of probably more fear with a lace of love. So when we receive the love of the Lord, this battering ram from heaven that is so gentle but the most powerful battering ram ever, that love will come and free us in so many areas that we will be able to see very obviously. And we're in a season where that seeing is becoming more obvious to see, because the bully never stops unless he stopped. The bully just gains in power and strength and authority. So it's very important that we vote. Very important that we vote in this election. Very important that we're registered to vote. And very important that we vote for what's on Jesus' heart and his priorities, which will be that I have created life and life has a purpose. I've had visions of many people in here who are going and doing great exploits for the Lord. What if they weren't here? I wouldn't have had that vision. So the Lord wants us to know that there are people that he has intended to carry his banner of power and love and grace, and they no longer exist. That's not acceptable. That's not good. And the Lord says you can go so many years and just become kind of numb or insensitive, thinking, well, I'll leave all that to the politicians. And then I know what I believe and what I say and what I stand for. But the Lord says that looks like something. So when you're standing there talking to the one next to you or speaking to your children at the table or even beyond that, venturing out in the grocery store and talking about things, you are so filled with life that you exude an atmosphere of change. And then when you're around others who are perhaps under tyranny of the bully in their thinking of believing that it sounds really good, my ears are tickled, I feel okay, but yet I don't, there's something inside, but yet I do. We have the responsibility to step forward and say, "With to the best of my understanding, here's what I know." And let your words work for you. And move people forward in the power of the Spirit. That's our job. It's really important. We've talked about abortion and right to life, and we've stood for so many things. I will tell you, long before Frontline, I was teaching at Heritage Christian School. The Lord gave me a mandate to start a group called Teens for Life And my officers were the officers for the Ohio Right to Life Teens for Life. Call that radical, call that an activist heart, call it what you want. But it was from the Lord, and the Lord moved that group forward. No longer exists. I'm not there. It could have been there. But you see, that's the enemy that wants to take things that are moving forward to declare and really bring and release life on every front, to snuff it out in a very careful way, or what seems to be careful. So when we educate ourselves and say, Lord, I really need to know something. I can be home nursing my baby, and I need to be an activist for Jesus. I need to expand my thinking and expand my territory, because if not, that territory will be taken, because that's the nature of the bully. Does that make sense? So there are very poignant issues at stake. Our freedoms are on the line. The Lord says it's time. And if you believe what you sang, you need to speak. And your vote needs to back up what you believe. You can have opinions on economy and this and that and the other. But the truth is, if we are not pro-life, we're going to have a huge problem. And it's going to be more than just missing a paycheck. And we already do. And it's increasing. So we're at a place where the line has really been drawn. So what would Jesus say? And we can talk about issues. And we can meet on the playground and discuss what it feels like. And how my knee has been hurt. And how I've been scraped. And I think I'll listen to this teacher or that teacher, while the real enemy is still stealing life away. So we need to be very wise in this season. We will be having a night of prayer for this election coming up. We already had an all-night watch of the Lord. It was one of the most powerful watches. I invite you, which I've continuously been doing, to make prayer a priority with your schedules, with your sleep, with your family in mind. But it's time. It's really time. So with a smile on my face, really, and a song in my heart, for sure, I'm telling you that it's time to do something and draw people with you. Take them with you. I believe this. How about 10 or 20 or 5,000 more who believe? Do something. Be very intentional now. And the enemy will do anything to stop you, especially through busyness and our own relegation to our responsibilities. It'll look different in 10, 20 years. That's not a scare tactic. That's just the truth of how things go. As the glory rises and we pull the glory down, the Lord says, stand for who I am in every place, in your workplace. Be bold. Be strong. Go out to lunch with people. Draw them in. Don't be passive. This is no time for passivity. None in this season. Very significant. Win your school for Jesus Christ. Win your group of teachers for Jesus. Be bold. You may be the one who is pointed at. But you may be the very one who will be used by God to bring about change where you are. And you can do that in love. You just need to be sure of who you are. So when we receive, we give away. And there are a lot of places that a lot of things perhaps that some don't understand regarding issues and agencies and funding and things like that. I asked Dylan to prepare something last night after Dylan and I were talking and some others last evening about something that's happening right under our noses. But it's happening all over the United States. For many of us who have been battling in the spirit for pro-living, pro-life, babies not being killed, they have a right to live. And that trumps any choice of a mother. And you need to believe it. And when you believe that, you're believing not what Pastor Mary Pat thinks. I believe that you're believing for life. Okay? And the Lord gives, there's room. Not gray areas, room for life always. There's always an answer for life. When I put my hand on the Mozambican lady whose baby had died in her womb, and I put my hand on her belly, and the baby raised back to life. That's power. That's power of the Lord. Right there, I felt the baby who hadn't moved for 2 months raise. That's worth shouting about. Now, let's take that and multiply that power in how we speak, what we do, how we stand. It can look like something wherever we are. The Lord is so serious about life because He is life. That's the reason. Do you understand? So for years, we've been going on the line or praying or standing for life, right to life, pro-life, 40 days for life, 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 life. Isn't that beautiful? And it's so good. And it's true. Well, we're seeing change. We have an agency in Stark County, all over the world, actually, or all the United States, called United Way. And United Way has funded so many wonderful organizations. It's a way for people to absolutely give and knowing that their monies are going to help needy people. Well, for many years, for the last, was it 40 years? Yeah, 40 years, Planned Parenthood was funded by United Way. And it was a hard place for people to, it's like, wait, Lord, I'm giving money, but I know some of that money's going to a place that will either abort children right on the spot or refer them. And many other things. The bully who stands in the schoolyard might be able to shoot a basketball and have some friends around him, but he's still a bully. And so we've been praying, Lord, help with this. So in 2010, the funding was changed. The Lord answered prayers. This is significant. The Lord answered the prayers of many. And in 2010, there was a change in the designation. So if someone wants to designate monies to go to Planned Parenthood for that purpose, they can do that. However, your money now will not automatically go there. Praise the Lord. Because United Way has changed after all these years. And they had a task force, and they had committees getting together, looking at interests on both sides, if you will. Isn't that amazing? And they came to the conclusion that we're going to change the designation from a partner organization, Planned Parenthood being a partner organization, to an affiliate organization, which means that monies can be earmarked, but they will not come directly from your money. This is a big deal. This is a big win. Is that exciting to you? That's a big, big deal. Fought for by standing out in the rain, praying, fasting, speaking, not being sitting back and saying, let Jamie make the announcement, maybe I'll show up. No, those days are over. So obviously, there's still a bully, and the bully's rising up in absolute offense against this possibility. In 2010, there was a grant given for $140,000 to be allocated 2011-2012, which will end in 2013 in March. So that $140,000 won't come. But people can earmark by choice. If they want to choose, they can earmark their designation. That's a good thing. Isn't that nice? But people in city council in Canton are fighting this. City council president is rising, saying this is intolerant, or people who are intolerant, people who are extreme, have somehow gotten to United Way, and we need to stop this. So there's going to be a resolution, an attempt at passing a resolution tomorrow night. I'm going to be there. If the Lord wants me to speak, which very likely I will speak, But we have something that can help you understand this. I asked Dylan, I just read it. I said, Dylan, can you put something together? Because something that we can do is send emails. And if we can't go tomorrow night and say, I'm sorry, you know, I think it's a good decision. Is there a problem? It's another step forward in eradicating Roe v. Wade. It's another step. It's a big step. It's very important. Many of us here are going to pray for the conference, the youth conference, young adult conference, sorry, next weekend. And that's noble and wonderful. Go for it. But many who are not part of that, feel free to at least, if you want to come, fine. But any of us can send emails and say, I'd like to voice my kind opinion. You don't have to be mean. We shouldn't be mean. We just walk in truth and righteousness. And if people want to accuse others of being extreme and being intolerant, I would just say that being intolerant for Jesus means I'm just supporting whatever Jesus says. And even in the paper, there was a picture of a preacher who I don't know that looked really mean, like rah, and holding a Bible and quoting him as talking about this country that's going to heck in a handbag. I'm not quoting him. And just from a fear perspective, just blasting, we better stop these people. That's not love. That's fear. But that's what many on the other side of not necessarily understanding or believing or standing for life would say, that's those weirdo wackos. Well, if I'm a weirdo wacko, it's for Jesus. And let's be counted as such. Pastor Bill's going to preach now. The children are going to go to Kingdom Land, but I'm asked Dylan to pass these out with some help. Do what you would like, but I think it's very important that we ask Jesus what he's saying and then make your choice.
Leave it. Hate to interrupt people reading. Used to do that when I was a teacher. The students would be reading and I'd be the one that'd be interrupting them. Not a good thing. Won't we pray? Father, we thank you, Lord. It's so quiet. I think we can hear you speak. There's peace in the house. There's no agitation in our spirits, Lord. I think they're ready to receive. I pray that that would continue. Abundant peace. Abundant ability to receive. We thank you, Lord, that we're already full, but you always fill us up even more. And thank you for abandoned worship to your name. You deserve it all. Let's just go on record. You deserve it all. No present ruler, no political candidate. You receive and deserve all glory, all honor. And we love it, Lord. More and more we love it. Father, give us eyes to see and ears to hear in the Spirit today, beyond any ability we've ever had before. Give us an increase. That truth that is shared is life-changing, fully life-changing. Not same old business as usual, but we receive it so deep that it pushes out any lies we've believed before, or any half-truths, anything that was incomplete. Make everything full. Full of you, full of life. Thank you, Lord, for your revelation. Receive it as your children today. As a little boy or girl at their birthday party, happy with all the gifts, not questioning whether they deserve it, just receiving them all with joy, playing in the birthday cake, smearing our faces with frosting, and then taking pictures that will be seen forever. Thank you, God. That kind of receiving, that kind of joy, that kind of openness to you, that kind of freedom, not asking whether we deserve the gifts, just receiving. We bless your name. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yesterday, we had a meeting called Men Who Honor. Men Who Honor, and I've already gotten some interesting reports. I thought I would prepare some of the married women that you should expect something a little different than maybe what you've been used to. So if that's already happened, I'm sorry I didn't give you a warning. But, and for the single gals, you have that to look forward to at some point, because we'll keep on having breakfasts of men who honor. But one of the statements that was read there is this statement: a man who honors is one who passionately lives for Jesus while serving those around him with compassion inspired by the Holy Spirit. He is one who seeks the intimate presence of the Lord while depending on the power of the Holy Spirit to revere his Heavenly Father and edify each person he encounters. One of his greatest joys is to initiate and develop relational covenants, whereby he offers himself humbly to love God supremely and others sacrificially. Faith is his shield. Righteousness is his breastplate. Salvation is his helmet. Truth is his belt. The word of the Lord is his spirit's sword. The gospel of peace prepares his boots. Joy is his strength, and freedom is his battle cry, because his general's mercy triumphs over judgment in any battle. Fear and lack are his mortal enemies, as he wars not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. He is assured of victory because the one who lives in him has already triumphed eternally. He has been honored by the preeminently honorable. Therefore, he honors. So, I think you should expect that the men in the house increase, and we should expect that the ladies in the house increase, because that's what God's all about. He's all about honoring. And I thought I would talk a little bit about it. I got quite inspired last night talking to Senior Tom. And so some of this morning just kind of came out of that, even though I had already heard from the Lord what this was supposed to be about. I got around a fire last night and I started talking with a fellow believer that just brought joy to my heart to hear some of the testimonies and so on. And I know I feel that when I talk to the younger Tom too at times, but it was just a, you know, special around the fire, and you had a birthday boy to take care of. So, but one of the things that I thought was, you know, what if God were running the Olympics? What would it look like? I didn't ask that for you to answer. Not this time. I'll tell you when to answer. I know when you grew that beard that, you know, you felt like Moses and you were supposed to pull all the time. I might want to hear from you, though. Probably later I'll need somebody to speak, and it'll be like, oh, no, no. But what if God was running the Olympics? What would it be? Well, I think it would look a lot different than the Olympics that we saw. So I thought I might demonstrate. So, you know, you're nice and tall, Justin. Maybe you could come up and help me. I think it would look something like this. This is the way it would work. Justin would sign up to be an Olympian. Now, he doesn't feel like he's particularly qualified. He's not trained. He has no idea, you know, how to swim or how to run or how to throw anything or whatever or do any of the things in the Olympics, but he signs up to be an Olympian because he sees the grace, the mercy. He sees the offer of a gift to him. You could be an Olympian. The Father speaks life into him, says, by you, I'll make you an Olympian. So Justin believes. He receives that he's now an Olympian just because the coach, the cheerleader, says so. You're an Olympian. All right. Tell you what, don't worry about the training. We'll get to that. Don't worry about anything. We're just going to fly to Rio. And, you know, God, before they get to the airport, he just starts bringing over some good-sized Olympic medals. And he starts giving them to Justin. We haven't even gone to the airport yet, and he starts piling with Olympic medals. And he says, it's all for you. Hope you can, you know, hold them around your neck as you get on the plane. And so we get on the plane, we fly to Rio, and he signed up for some events. And his coach, his cheerleader is there while Justin does his best in the events. He's last in the breaststroke. And his coach, his cheerleader is like, that's right, way to go. You like your medals? He's last in the 100-meter race. The coach goes, he was cheering for him the whole time. Says, good job, way to go. Whoa, you're an Olympian, man. Look at your medals. He was last in everything he did. And coach comes and says, hey, you know, we had a party. You did a great job. You're an Olympian. I gave you the medals. Way to go. Justin says to himself, okay, you know, I kind of believed it when he told me at first I was an Olympian, but I was last. No one else seemed to be cheering for me. Only this wacko coach, this cheerleader that was along the side screaming my name out. No one took my pictures. No one thought I was that impressive. But I had these Olympic medals. And so, you know, God flies back home with Justin. He says, you know, I'm really proud of you. You gave it your all. You gave it your all. And Justin wants to bring up, you know, I was last in every race. In everything I tried, I was last. But the coach, the cheerleader, just keeps saying, good job, man. You know what? We're going to do this again. You know what? You need more medals. We're going to actually do this again. You need to be rewarded so much more for giving it all you have. What do you think about that? And what do you think his response would be if every time they flew to the Olympics, the medals were given to him ahead of time? The coach was there, the cheerleader was there every time, cheering him on, saying, way to go. He himself knows he didn't perform that well. Maybe the second time there, he wasn't last in everything. And every time they go, just before they go, he gets all these medals before he goes. What would start to happen in the Olympian's heart? What do you think? Now you can answer. Now you're too. I can't hear you.
He wins.
He wins. What would happen in his heart? He believes. Shift in thinking. He'd think he was a winner. Is he a winner?
Yes.
He is a winner. What would happen in his heart? Confident. Encouraged. Grateful. He'd be totally, absolutely grateful. It wouldn't make any sense to him that he got the medals before he went to Rio. It wouldn't make any sense to him that he had the status of an Olympian without ever training, without ever running any events before he got the medals. And yet, it starts to change in his heart. Gratitude starts to take over in his heart.
I need more endurance.
It's okay. It's okay. Wow, look at this. See? He's even believing he can do it. Thanks so much. You did a great job. Wow. I'd take him with you. I'd take him with you. So would you trust or the cheerleader? Kept on doing this over and over and over again. You didn't feel like your performance was, but they kept rewarding you for your heart. They kept rewarding that you were willing. They kept rewarding the fact you were related to them. They had made you one that would perform. Now we know it's even better than that. Much better than that. Because the very coach and the cheerleader lives inside of us, empowering us. And we can learn to trust a cheerleader like that. We can trust a coach like that. We can trust an empowering person like that inside of our life. So much is dependent on whether we trust God or not. Isn't that true? Many people over the years have struggled with trust for God. And yet, he starts out day one, May of 1972, when I was up in that bedroom in northern Michigan, bent my knee to Jesus and asked him to come into my life. From day one, he rewarded me first. Everything for life and godliness first. He piled on the gifts first. What are some of those gifts? What are some of those gifts? That's a question. Okay, all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Joy, peace, patience, hope. Gave us hope. Sonship, daughtership, all the ships came in the port. Whew. Forgiveness, joy, peace, clean conscience. Now, any one of these, could you see them on one of the conventions? Ladies and gentlemen, I promise if you elect me, I will give you peace. We'd say, right. That's even worse than some of the other promises. We'd never believe it. And I'm saying a lot of people don't believe it that have received. They don't really believe it. If we did, we'd come dancing in here all the time. If we really did, you know, really got a hold of us. Don't you think? Yeah. He gives us the Holy Spirit. As soon as we cross the line into the kingdom, we get God living right inside of us, producing all these things, empowering us to be like him. But in our performance, we see what Justin did. Failed. Often, right? Last in the race, gave it all he had, but just wasn't good enough. We could maybe get the idea we don't have this Christian thing figured out. But our Father is saying, hey, you gave it all you had. Guess what? Let's take another risk. Let's go to another Olympics. Let's give it another shot. Let's go. And you're like, didn't you just see? Yeah, I saw your heart. It was great. What's up? What's the problem? I saw your heart. Now we're just going to step into more of what Holy Spirit has given you. Some of what you did there was your effort. Let's just be honest. As we go to more and more events, more and more Olympics, we start to see, oh, I'm not only just supposed to be hearing the coach along the sidelines, I'm supposed to go by the empowering within that he gives me to live these things out, to run these races, to do these events. It's supposed to be him living out through me. Oh yeah, I've heard that. I I've heard that. But when I've tried it in life, something's missing. What is it? What's missing? How come it's not working? We have Joe Christian. He receives the gospel immediately. He is given the responsibility to give out the gospel to the whole earth. What are you thinking, God? You've got angels that can buzz around like nobody's business. You know, they can be in heaven and down here instantly. They can go different dimensions. They can fly around the earth. They can, you know, fly in and make a pretty good entrance. Wong. You know, and people are like, ah, it's an angel. And they speak. And the person's like, they can hardly speak back. Wouldn't that be a better idea, God? When I show up in Ghana, doesn't happen. I have to actually, you know, maybe talk to people, have a drama to draw people in. But an angel, he could just give out the gospel, bam! What are you thinking, God? Why are you trusting me to do that day one? Giving me the responsibility of taking the gospel to the nations? I'm still wet behind the ears. I'm still on the milk. How could you even think and be excited that a new carrier of the gospel has come to carry the gospel to the nations? Think of those disciples. He entrusted that band of men to spread the gospel into the known earth at that time. Now, any of it, that's a failing venture right there. Come on, we know them from the gospels. Foot and mouth disease. You know, a lot of stupidity. And what, you know, they were not prepared. They were with Jesus, didn't even know who he was, most of them, most of the time. Then they would know who he was, and then the next minute they wouldn't. Gosh, they're just like me. Without Jesus. Without Holy Spirit living inside. None of them have Holy Spirit living inside. Would you entrust the gospel to these 11 and then Paul? Paul, the persecutor. Would you do that? Would that be your plan? I'm going to take these 11 bumbling idiots, plus Paul, who at least was trained in a lot of good stuff, even though he's persecuting everything Jesus did. Why do you kick against the goads? Well, that's, I thought I was supposed to. And he takes those 12 men and changes the earth. Few others came along that they trained or that came into the faith. Changed the entire earth at that point. That was his plan, and it worked. None of us, I don't think, would have said that would work. And it did. Guess what? Now he has a whole earth of bumbling idiots. Only his plan now is, I'm going to put the Holy Spirit in of them before bumbling much. And they can listen to his voice when they start to think of something off target. Holy Spirit will remind them of the things that Jesus taught. So oftentimes, first thought is not the one to go with. That's us going, wow, this would be a good idea. That's the disciple disease. Okay? They thought their first idea was the idea. Sometimes that happens to us. That happens in churches. That happens in individual believers. Wow, that sounds like a good idea. But we have the advantage now because we can take that idea, we can put it through the grid of Holy Spirit, and we can say, what do you think? And he'll tell you whether it should stick to the wall or not. Just let that one slide down the wall. That one's not going to work. That's not going to be a good plan. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Or, wow, that's inspired. That came from you having me inside, and I just happened to affect all your thoughts, and I captured them. That's one from me to you. It's a gift. It's great. Go for it. Take a risk. No matter what it looks like, it's going to be successful. Don't back off. Press in. He has that ability within us to do that. But it takes trust, doesn't it? It takes trust. He trusts you more than you trust him. He trusts you with the gospel. He trusts you with his Spirit to live inside of you. He trusts you with the fruit of the Spirit. He trusts you with all the giftings you need to be powerful in the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives you all of this and trusts you to get the job done on the earth. Oh no, he's got to be coming in with a different plan to rescue it at the end or something, because it's just not going that well. Really? Oh yes, it is. Oh yes, it is. Muslims are starting to bend their knee to Jesus in droves. Now, who would have thought that? Communism is having a little trouble these days. The jig's up. Because they know it can fall. They had the belief until 1989 in many places, oh, communism could never fall. They're too powerful. They infiltrate everything. They know everything. They can do anything to hurt you, to buy. Until the Berlin Wall fell. Now communism, what looked like a lion is now a mouse. People aren't going to fall for that for very long. They won't fall for it in China for very long. We may see a change there by God's grace. Do you know that you have all the strength you need? Just with one verse out of the Bible. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You have all the strength you need. So if you're saying, man, I just don't have the strength to go through this trial. I don't have the strength to face this situation. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have, that's lack. And it's not trust. Because he says you do have. You do have. Well, I don't have the power to change my circumstances. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Of course you do. Well, I can't be the one that wins the people in my household. Why not? You see, God says something different than we say. We're supposed to align with what he says. That's trust. He trusts you to win your household. He trusts you not only to win your household, but to win the earth. That's why he gives you the responsibility of the gospel. Right now, the angels can't preach it. They would come down and say to people, if you go over here, there's some Christians that you could talk to. They did that in the book of Acts. Come over here to Cornelius' house and you can talk to him about receiving the Lord. That's what the angels do. They direct traffic to us. They give out the gospel. He gives us these responsibilities and then trusts we're going to get them done. He's not sitting around going, oh, what am I going to do? These people are so weak. They're all in the milk. They don't seem to get it done. I don't know what the problem is. He's not like that. He's cheering for you from the inside. Going, yeah, good job there. You prayed for that person that was sick. I'm going to move in there. I just love that when you pray for people that are sick. I'm just going to move right in there. Whew, that's awesome. Way to go. Oh, yeah. I already gave you the medal, though, so I gave you all that you needed to accomplish that. But, hey, ready to go. Way to go. Oh, when you do get to heaven, it's not just gold medals and all those good gifts. The streets are gold. Pearls are in the gates. That's just the physical stuff. I'm going to give you crowns for your faithfulness. Oh, my Lord, I haven't been that faithful. I haven't done that well. He's not looking at your performance. He's trusting who he put inside of you. And when you start to grab a hold of the gratitude of that, your performance will get better. He's trusting the one he put inside of you. When you start grabbing a hold of the gratitude, your performance gets better. See, you don't strive, try to perform, and that's the goal. Uh-uh. You enjoy, soak in the presence, receive all the giftings he's already given you, grow in gratitude, and you can't wait to do his will. You get excited about it, and you trust him. You start trusting him. It's interesting, isn't it? Many people express coming to Jesus, that was the day I trusted Jesus. No, it wasn't. In one sense, you kind of trusted. You saw you were a wicked sinner like everybody else. You knew you needed something greater than yourself to take care of it, finally. And you received this wonderful gift that was right there in front of you that he was able to give you eyes to see. And you went, oh, I gotta have that. I'm a mess. I am a mess. I need that. And so you grabbed a hold of what you thought was some kind of a package, more than likely. It was really a person. But you thought at that time maybe, well, it's salvation. Sounds like some kind of package, so I'll take the package in. Even though I'm receiving Jesus, it's more like a package at this point, somehow. You didn't really know Jesus, so you couldn't trust him. You invited him in for what you did know, and it was good already. He died for my sin. I'm a sinner, and he died for my sin. Oh, cool. I want that. I want to have this good relationship with God. But the trust wasn't built yet because you didn't understand it all. You didn't understand anything. You were on the milk. You were a baby. It's only as you start to say, wow, this is more than cool. This is amazing. Wow, this is more than amazing. It's exceedingly abundantly amazing. Wow, this is really awesome. Everything he's done for me, everything he's doing for me, everything he's showing me through Holy Spirit. Then you start to trust when he says, move over here. And you go, well, yeah, you betcha. I'm going over there because when I listened to you before, wow, And you start to trust like a little child. You take those first steps and, hey, I'm actually going to do this. I'm going to walk. Woo! It's going to happen. And then when you get to the bike, whoa, I'm going to ride. Then you get behind the wheel. Whoa, I love horsepower. Then if you're fortunate enough, you get behind in the cockpit, the wheel. I'm going to fly. Where at first you thought you couldn't do those things, suddenly you're doing them. And you start having gratitude for who he is, what he's done inside of you, what some of these things are. You're starting to understand. You're starting to get spiritual understanding. You're like, whoo. And you realize, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. Whoa, I can't. I can't. I can't do it. I can't do it. Awesome. Give me a medal. I can't do it. Reward me because I can't do it. Let me reach the nations. I can't do it. Let me talk to my family member. I can't do it. But you know he can do it in you. And you're so grateful for that because you can't do it and you know it. And confidence comes from not yourself. I am the man of God. I've seen some, you know, chickens in the farmyard, and it kind of remind me of some of the preachers. I am the man of God. I know this book from beginning to end and have studied it in the original languages. You know, I didn't just take theology. I took theology so I could understand it. What do they call that? Systematic. It was systematic theology, not just a bunch of stuff thrown in. And I had to sort it out. Somebody already sorted it out and had a system. And I followed right through that system. And now I'm a theologian who's been through the system. So you should listen to me. Rather, we say, I'm a kid. My obedience, all the days of my obedience, all the moments of my obedience add up to the age of a child. And I'm excited about that because he values me so much for those moments of obedience. I already know about the other moments. That was me. That was me. That was me. The moments of obedience, that was him. That was him. That was him. I'm growing in the gratefulness, and I'm starting to see more of what is him, and I'm doing less of what is me. And I'm enjoying life so much more because I'm actually doing what pleases him. It's possible to live the Christian life. Whoa, who knew? And all it takes is more gratitude that he can do it and I can't. And I start to trust when he says, this is the way to go. I risk when he says, go ahead, step out of that boat onto the water. Jump off that cliff and expect me to help you fly. And it works. If you have any doubt that he did this with everybody in the Bible, you just look at some of the names. Gideon, he comes to him first, and the angel says, by the way, you're old valiant warrior. Not old. Oh, valiant warrior. There's a difference. Or you mighty man of valor. That's what he started with when he was shaking in his boots because of the enemy. He starts by telling him, oh, you mighty man of valor. Now, who of us haven't had that experience with the Lord? He comes to you and say, you're a saint. You know what? You're a saint. You go, oh, please. That, something about that word, it just doesn't fall on my ears to, you're a saint. No. I like it when someone says, you're a sinner saved by grace. That sounds better. I got a chance. You know, I got a fighting chance then. But if you start calling me saint all the time, then I have to start acting like one. And everybody knows that's impossible. And people are going to see it. Oh, there goes that saint. You know, no, he's not. Let me tell you about him. I don't want that to happen. But if somebody says, there goes that man's saved by grace. He's a sinner, but he's saved by grace. You can live with that, because at any moment you could kind of go into that old man for a second and everybody's going to go, yeah, that's right, but he's saved by grace. But if the saint thing is put on us, then we're a little bit like, whoa, too heavy. That's too high. Bars up there too high. Olympian? I haven't trained. I haven't performed very well. Don't call me an Olympian. But he does. And he doesn't back off from it. He didn't with Gideon, O valiant warrior, Judges 6:13. David, man after my own heart. Ooh, really? All the time? We know of a couple of exceptions. Why are those in the Bible? Why didn't God just hide those over? You know, man after my own heart. Wow, that David, he's something else. He's a man after God's own heart. And then in the ancient books over here, we find out about the Bathsheba thing. But we'd have to dig for that. No, God puts it right out there. He blew it. He's a man after my own heart. He blew it. He's a man after my own heart. What? What was happening there was when David was responding to God, he was a man after God's own heart. When David did his own thing, he repented, God forgave it. He's still a man after God's own heart. Why? Because Jesus is a redeemer. He redeems everything. There are things that are coming to your mind right now. Well, I remember when I did that. Definitely not the saint. Can't take that saint level because I did that one. And as long as I did that one, there's a few others I won't think about, but I know I did that one, so I'm not a saint. That's for sure. Because I was a Christian when I did that. So I'm not a saint. But the problem is the blood of Jesus covered it. As you cooperate with him, you're following him, you're after him, you've repented of that till you can't count how many times you felt bad about that. He heard you the first time. And he was right there with the blood, you know. And before, when you received him into your life, covered that over with the blood. What? And people say, I don't know if I can trust God. Just some things that happened, and I don't know if I can trust. Well, you might not be able to trust him, but he can trust you. He just flat out trusts you with your warts, that he can get accomplished in you. He can help you reach your destiny. He can get you to the place where you have full gratitude for everything he's done for you and everything he's going to do in you and everything he's going to use you for to build the kingdom. You trust him. Because he's trusting you. He gives you the goodies first and says, I know I can get it done through you. Abraham called a friend of God. Abraham wasn't always on target. He was many times, but not every time. We know of a few incidences. They're right there for us to look at. And yet he's called a friend of God. What does he call you? A brother. A friend. So many good names, so many positive things. It's hard to list them all. And he gives you a new name written down in glory in a book up there. So you not only have your name that your parents gave you, you've got some kind of name that God gave you. Special name that says he's mine, she's mine. I claim them. You might not claim yourself before God. Oh, I don't know if God sees this, but I really blew it today. He saw it. He still says, she's mine, he's mine. I claim them. Watch this, enemy. I can get them to the finish line. As they are in gratitude for the goodness I provided for that misdeed, that thing that they did, that's not the course of their life. That's not their lifestyle. They feel bad about it. They've asked for forgiveness for it. They've agreed with me. They've repented. I bring refreshing, and I redeem everything. Please don't mistrust me in my redeeming. When I say I'm a redeemer, that means everything, every time. If you grab a hold of the gratitude, you're going to blow this world away with what you do for God. And you're still not going to think it's very much. Paul didn't know whether to go to heaven or stay on earth and try to help more. But he wasn't satisfied. I'm sure the day he died, he was like, oh, okay, all right, you know, maybe I should pray for these guys to fall down like Jesus did in the garden and I could go on helping people. Jacob and Moses, both were told, or both gave the testimony that they saw God face to face. They were that intimate with him that they saw him face to face. Now, Jacob was a few things there. Moses had a couple little spats of anger that kept him from the promised land. You know what? If they were living now, Moses, Jacob, Moses would go to the promised land in the age. It's true. And we think we got problems. And we think they're the, you know, ones that, oh man, that was the glorious time. No, this is the glorious time. Moses would go into the promised land if he made that little anger thing going and all that business. All those little glitches. Forgiven, blood covered. David would have built the temple, not Solomon, in the covenant we live in. They were probably saying, man, I know what's coming. Wish I could live in that covenant. And we live there. We should have the gratitude to God. Wow. We live there. We're in it. We're in what they do. We've got all the benefits of what they look forward to. What are we not trusting this God for? Whoa! Whoa! Woo! Peter, how can you fail Jesus three times and get on his good list? At least go to the corner with a dunce cap on. Come on. How do you get to have breakfast with him? He resurrects, puts you on his schedule in his iPhone. Okay, breakfast with Peter. See, yeah, he denied me three times. I've got to have breakfast with him. Need to go to Bob Evans with Peter. It's right down. Yeah, I'll do that one down by, yeah, Sea of Galilee. That'll be a good one, yeah. See, I'll make breakfast. I'll let Bob have the day off. and I'll make breakfast for Peter. He deserves it. I mean, after all, the guy feels terrible because he thinks his life's over because he denied me 3 times. He thinks that. He caused me to go through all that suffering and die on the cross. Now, I got to give him a clue. I'm a redeemer. I can redeem this, Peter. I got to let him know. I love Peter so much. You know, he did have that really good statement about me being Son of God and all that. Okay, we're going to forget the one about, you know, don't go to the cross, get thee behind me, Satan. Because, you know, we're going to have breakfast. Peter gets invited to breakfast, and you can imagine he came in standing, but his nose was dragging on the ground. He had already covered it all. How could I have done such a stupid thing? Especially after I stood up and said, and then, cock-a-doodle-doo. He just felt like, you know, sin on a popsicle stick. And he's got his nose as far on the ground as he can have it. And Jesus is like, how about some fish? Why isn't get over here, Peter? And you better have your nose on the ground 3 times. And I, you know how many lashes? Then I went to the cross. It's your fault. He didn't do that. You can just see him going, Peter, hey, come on, get the head up there, buddy. Woo, come on over here, got a little breakfast for you. And then Peter feels even worse. He doesn't want to just put his nose in the ground, he wants to put it in the fire. And what did Jesus do? Restored everything to him. What was he saying? Peter, I just want to get you to the place of gratitude. Because you're not going to be any good to me with your nose on the ground. There are people that need ministry from you. From me, Lord? You've got to be kidding. Yeah, I love you, Lord, but please don't say that one more time. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Don't say that one more time. I don't deserve that. I love you. Oh, boy, do I now, especially since I failed you so bad. Don't give me a ministry. I should go through some kind of, you know, pastor's thing or whatever for like years so they can restore me, whatever that looks like. But I'll just, you know, kind of clean the gold in the temple or something. But don't give me a ministry with people. I do not deserve that. And Jesus did. He restored everything to him. He restored his destiny to him. It was always there for Peter. He just didn't know it. Think how much gratitude he had when he received the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine how he felt? And what did he do? Let me at those sheep. Let me at those sheep. I felt so bad, and Jesus helped me some, but I didn't feel I had the power to really do what he asked me to do at the breakfast we had. But on the day of Pentecost, whoo, I felt that fire inside of me, and I went and preached, and 3,000 came to the Lord in 1 day. An impossibility. That's an impossibility. With you heard that when Jesus was walking around, did 3,000 people agree with him in 1 day in that society? Absolutely not. Some of them were saying, yeah, this could be, you know, the Messiah. And the other ones were going, let's kill him before somebody finds out that he might be. And yet Peter goes out under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and does a greater work through Jesus living in him under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So when he says to you, you will do greater works, you're not supposed to say, you must not mean it that way. That wouldn't be very humble of me to do that anyway, even if I had the power to do that. Oh, yes, it would be. Because Holy Spirit's the one that's going to do it through you anyway. Of course, I would bring the greatest glory to God to not just have Jesus here all the time doing the miracles and the signs and the wonders and the healings and the deliverances, but for him to do it through you, that brings him much greater glory. I said that brings him much greater glory. You're not quite believing that one. Hey! I'll just keep calling you saint till you do. So, can you trust a God like that? He gives you the talents first. You know that whole talent thing where he comes out and tells the parable about this at least, but let's just personalize this. Probably can't get these out of here, but here we go. We're going to give people some talents today. Yeah, I got somebody in mind. Let's see. That one worker, he's really been a good one for me. I don't know. I have a heart. Okay, we'll just give him five talents. Let's see. And, you know, I like that other guy too. You know, give him two talents. And, you know, gotta give this one one. And I have my own reasons for why I gave the amounts I gave. We won't go into that. But the one, unfortunately, that gets the one, you know, this one doubles. Good job, Kingdom Capital or something like that. This one doubles. Woo! Good and faithful servant, way to go. And what does this one do? Once again, berries. Hides it, buries it. Now, in the parable, the one that took the safe route, no risk, loses it, right? Sorry, yeah, take that one back. And gives it to the one that doubled with the most. Now, I've always wondered about that, and I thought, you know, come on. Why not, you know, this one's got, you know, he's got double, he's got 10 now. This one has 4. Why not just make it 5? And then when he doubles, he'll be up in his spot. That would, you know, it's something in me. Give it to the one that was, you know, just a little bit behind. That sounds like Jesus. You ever wonder about that with the talents? If you haven't, you are now. Okay. So why did he give it to the one that had 10? Well, let's read it so we're all on the same page. It's in Matthew 25:14-30. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you have delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.
His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Then he who had received the one talent came and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." But the Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he who has abundance, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. Therefore, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Wow. The problem is trust. The person that received the one didn't trust the owner, didn't trust the master, even though the master could make something out of nothing. You harvest where you've not even sown. He can make something out of nothing, and yet this person decides, he's a hard guy, I'm going to bury it, and then just give it back to him if he ever shows up again. He didn't trust him to make something out of what he was given when he can make something out of nothing. That's why he's out. If a person cannot trust the one that is able to turn zero into fruitfulness, they're out. They're not going to get it. They haven't gotten it figured out. It's an issue of trust over the one that can take nothing and turn it into amazing multiplication. Take nothing and turn it into amazing multiplication. If we can't believe that, we don't get it. We've missed it. And so a person in depression, that's why it's so very grieving. Because they're not thinking that God can take nothing and turn it into an amazing harvest. But God does. He believes it. Always has. Always will. So why did the one that had 10 receive the one? He risked the most. He risked the most. He's the richest. He had 5 talents to start with. He could have just said, "Well, let's see. Let's hedge our bets here. I'll keep 2 in the bank. I'll at least do that thing. And I don't believe my master's a hard guy, so I'll put 2 in the bank. And I'll keep 3 and I'll kind of put it out there and see what happens." No, he risked it all. It's like a rich person going through the eye of a needle. You know, a camel. And they're actually made it through the eye of the needle. Oh, you deserve one more. You risked everything. The problem with a rich young ruler, he wouldn't. He wouldn't risk. But this person in the parable did. So what's it say to us about this issue of trust? If we don't trust, we're not going to receive a great harvest in our life. We're not going to reach our destiny. If we don't have gratitude for all that he's given us to reach our destiny, we don't trust. who he really is and what he really has done for us. It's important issues, isn't it? Fortunately, most of the people in here are trusting. This is just to continue to build the trust that you have for him and to realize it's better than you thought. It's a whole lot better than you ever imagined. And we're going to just keep understanding it's even better. You have even more reason to have gratitude for him. And if you get mad on a particular day and you hit a rock because you want water to come out, you don't have to look at Moses. You're in a different covenant. You have Holy Spirit inside of you, which will say, might need some inner healing here on this. And I've got just the solution for you, just the right mix for you. Because you don't want to keep going on hitting rocks. That doesn't trust God. And you'll go, you know, you're right. I need some help here. It's that way about everything in us that we don't like. We just agree with Holy Spirit. We just say, you're right. Extract it from me. I'm gonna surrender and receive. I used to think it was all about applying the word, but that was too much me. That was too much me. I'm going to read a passage, have my quiet time, and I'm going to find something in there that hits my heart, and I'm going to apply it. Then the next time I, you know, came around, you know, many months, many moons later, and I read that same passage, and I go, hey, that same thing's in there striking me. This time I'm going to apply it. I'm going to do better than that now. God, I so solemnly swear I'm going to apply it this time. I promise. I promise. And the next time we come to that passage, I did a little better, but still, oh. You know, now I say, I can't do these things, God. I see this. It's striking my heart. I can't do it. What are you going to do to rescue me? How are you going to improve this in my heart, in my life? Since I don't have the strength to do it, and you do, I'm going to depend on you to change it in me. And it might not happen the first time I read this passage, but I'm going to see some improvement. I'm going to see something going forward. And that's going to encourage me. I'm going to have more gratefulness to you. And I'm going to know that you can change anything in me. And you can actually take me to the nations. And I might even win a nation for you. Because you're going to do it in me. You're going to do it in me. Now, this comes from the guy that at 19 years of age, living behind a curtain of hair. I know that's hard to believe. You'll have to take that by faith. A curtain of hair that covered the eyes. He would peek out at the world and go, boy, it's scary out there. I think I'll stay in here. And I'll write my sad songs. And I'll write my sad poetry. I love rainy days. I feel so reflective and thoughtful. And maybe someday someone will discover I'm a talented person. But I'm not going to push it because I don't think they're going to see much in me. Hiding behind that curtain. Who changed that? Who completely changed that? I know who did that. I know who did that. And the gratefulness in my heart for that is increasing and increasing and increasing. Because the more I look in here, I'm like, wow. He wants to have breakfast with me after I fail and turn it into a victory. even my flops, my flounders, my failings, my faults, he's going to turn into victories. Wow. That's something to be grateful for. I can trust him. Because if I trust myself, very limited. But I can trust him. Are you there? Or you want to be there? Because I'm telling you, that's when you start experiencing the joy, the freedom. You're not weighted down, not for very long. You know, casting your care upon him, he means it. And he's going to do something about it. It's not like you cast your care upon him and he goes, oh, your dirty laundry. Here, let me throw that in the corner. No, he gets involved in it with his righteous right arm on your behalf. And he wreaks havoc in whatever is hurting you or those you love. We have to trust that. And it's not hard when you see how he worked in people's lives in the Bible, or just take a few testimonies of people around here. So will you trust him with your life for that? That's the question. The answer is, wow, how couldn't you? After everything he's providing for you. Father, we thank you, God. We don't just get talents. We get the person of you inside of us. This isn't some kind of, let's see how many I have and how many you have and figure out who. Lord, you've given us everything we need for life and godliness. And we're asking you grow up a complete increase in our spirit of gratitude, of thankfulness, that we'll trust you because, wow, we realize just how much you're for us. You are for us. You are for us. And not against us. And Lord, when we come into that gratefulness, when we don't believe you're a hard man, when you can multiply something out of nothing, but we celebrate that, it means we get it. We really get it. What this is about. It's about you in us, living out what you want to in us. We cooperate with it. We partner with it. We sometimes have a sanctified idea that you love to partner with. But it's a relationship that's much closer. Much closer. Even when we feel that we can't hear from you, you're right there. The problem is on our end. Father, thank you, Lord. This is an encouraging word from you because it means there are no limits. Our quirks and our personalities, our flops, flounders, and failings, Lord, you can overcome them all and get us to our destinies that will build your kingdom. It truly is for you, but you allow us to enjoy it so much. It's truly our life to please you, our life to live for you, our life to build your kingdom. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. From the bottom of our hearts, we thank you, Lord. We give you gratitude in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, Lord. Okay.
Couple of announcements.